Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 1st of March.
My birthday month.
In one of those months where we have 5 shows.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th.
My birthday's coming up this month.
Oh, on the 20th. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
How old will you be?
I will be 57. 57. Still a youngster. But not so young that I can do the things I used to do. And that's a long list of things. Most of them physical, right?
Well, that would be normal, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, hey, a buddy of mine says the other day, he goes, you know, I really like that pickleball game. I'm like, yeah, it's a good game. He says, yeah, you know what? I'm not so good at tennis. It's easy. I said, because that's the point. It's like for old people. I mean, young people could play it too, but it's for old people that you don't, it's kind of badminton and tennis and ping pong all combined. Have you played?
What?
Pickleball.
No, I've never played pickleball. I'm not even sure what it is.
Pickleball.
Some East Coast thing.
Pickleball is played on a shorter, smaller tennis court. Very similar in design with the boxes and things. A few things different. There's something called a kitchen. The net is a little bit lower. You play with a wiffle ball and a small, oversized paddleball racket. You probably know what that is.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun game.
I'd rather play badminton.
I always feel like I'm going to smack myself, you know, like I'm going to hit it really hard and hit somebody. I don't know why.
Badminton?
I don't know why. I'm just telling you. The
thing never has any velocity. No matter how hard you hit it, it just slows down.
You've seen the people in the Olympics play it. They can get that thing going.
Yeah. That's about as fast as it's going to go.
The birdie.
I mean, do you play ping pong like an Olympics champ?
I'm a Forrest Gump of ping pong. Yes.
You play with a flat paddle and you put nothing but you're back 30 yards and you're banging the thing at high velocities.
And I stamp my foot when I serve. No, okay. I don't. Although I will tell you that one of my daughter's boyfriends once came to the house that we had. We had a lake house and had a ping pong table. And all of a sudden he comes and he's like, okay, we're going to play. I'm like, okay. And he come. I said, what is that? And he had like a kit. He had his to-go ping pong paddle kit.
Brother.
It's like the guy that comes over and plays pool and all of a sudden he takes the two-piece out and starts screwing it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, what's happening here? That's not good. All right, let's talk about what's going on. First of all, let's get this out. There's a lot of crap going on. It's not funny.
Yeah, I would hope so.
We had the sell the lie, buy the invasion last week. Buy when the bombs drop. That was like, wow, bombs are dropping. Let's reverse this market a little over 1,000 points on the Dow Jones and go positive like crazy. And then the next day, what the hell? We'll follow through with one of the best days the Dow Jones Industrial Average ever had. Because, well, it's going to be over soon. Not really. We're having a Vodka exodus. You see all these people with their Smirnoff and the Stoljanoyas and their Russian Standard and all these other ones just going in front of the cameras on TikTok and YouTube and just spilling them out. Bad Russians. Spill out their vodka. It's going to hurt them because, you see, you have to buy a lot more vodka to spill it out more. So I don't know where the intelligence meets the protest on that one.
There is no meeting of at all.
Not at
whatsoever.
All.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
For one thing, most of the profits you're spilling out are the middlemen that have nothing to do with the manufacturing of the whatever vodka you're dealing with, if it's from Russia. And then if you're going to be sympathetic, why don't you buy some Ukrainian vodka? There's tons of those out there.
I mean, these are the kind of people that will take a bottle of Tito's and spill it out and say, I'm protesting vodka.
The Tito's.
It's made in Texas.
Yeah, I know.
So that's
what Tito's a number of times. I think it's overrated.
Yeah. I think it's overrated as well. Somehow it's a go-to by a lot of people I know.
Well, hand sanitizer.
That it is good for that as well. I have a gallon of vodka hand sanitizer here. Or whatever it is, whatever they did it with. The world is joining in right now. I think a better way to look at this is ganging up to financially suffocate Putin and his crew.
And his, yeah.
Or as they say, what do they say on TV? They say Putin and his cronies.
Yeah, cronies.
Yeah, these cronies. Yeah, the cronies. And all of this couldn't come at a worse time because we had already the concern about corporate profitability, margins, issues with earnings, inflation, the Fed raising rates. And all of a sudden, here we are. And maybe it was done and probably was done on purpose time-wise, besides the fact we want to get through the Olympics, but why not hit them hard now? I don't think, and we could talk about this in a second. I don't want to talk about this now. I want to go through the market update. But I want to talk about what the hell this is all about, really. How does it end? And what was the... Is any of this going to be a deterrent for Vlad? But we'll talk about that in a second. Market update. Well, clearly the plunge protection team was in there stepping in last Thursday when things were rocketing down. Actually, I think on Monday as well, where things were rocketing down, you know, 1,000 points on the Dow and this massive turnaround that we saw. Not so much on the Dow on Thursday, but the Dow was just feeling out of it, I guess, lonesome and left out. So that what they did was they started buying it very dramatically on Friday, where we had an 820-point day. So,
well, and you know, until right now, I forgot all about the plunge protection team.
You know, the other thing you forgot about in the last 2 weeks, you probably don't remember the pandemic.
Well, good thing.
Right? Wait, what happened to the pandemic?
Well, if you're in California, you still remember because everyone's still masked up. Everyone's keeping the masks on because nobody wants to make anyone think that if they take the mask off that they're Republicans, so they have to keep the mask
on. That's because...
Oh, my God. I hope somebody doesn't see me without my mask. They'll think I'm a Republican.
Oh. So I went to D.C. this week, and so, of course, on the plane, you have to wear a mask, and, you know, then you get off and you go in the airport, and you have to wear a mask. Okay, fine. Get into a car, you drive somewhere, you got to wear a mask for a, you know, a cab. I get to the hotel and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. Do I wear the mask? Do I not wear the mask? So I went up to somebody, I said, listen, I'm from out of town. What are the rules here? Because who knows? They're like, we don't know either exactly, but the bottom line is that they said, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask at all times here in this city. And if you are vaccinated, then you don't have to wear a mask, but you can if you want, and this and that. And I don't know. It was very confusing. Very confusing. Nobody wears them down here in Florida anymore. Yeah, I mean, hardly see them. But people in D.C. were walking around at night in the freezing cold, like individually wearing masks, not near anybody.
Well, in the freezing cold, actually wearing a mask is not a bad idea because it does helps you from breathing in just really cold air.
I agree with you, and I was wearing a mask when I went outside of the hotel, and I'm thinking, you know, I think I'm going to leave this on.
Yeah, better.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, you think war is less aggressive Fed? I believe that is what was going on in the minds of a lot of people as this whole thing was unfolding. The idea that the Fed is supposedly going to be very aggressive with a 50 basis point move. And then the idea was in January, a 90% chance of a major increase that may, according to Jim Bullard, may get very aggressive to 100 basis points by July. So 50 basis points in March and then maybe in April. And at least by May or June, somewhere around there, they'll boost all the way up to 1%. Okay. Markets freaked out about that. And then all of a sudden we had the people come out and say, well, maybe that's not the case. And then what we had was this Ukrainian situation where, there was an invasion. And all of a sudden, maybe because liquidity is needed, And the Fed usually comes out during these kinds of situations, central banks all over the world, saying, we would like you to know and let the market participants understand that we will make sure there is ample, usually with ample liquidity in the markets, and we will be there monitoring the situation closely. That's something what they would say, right? Ample liquidity. So Thursday, the 7% drop to top. So we saw this big move on the NASDAQ down about 3.5%, which is very large, bottoming out, turning around by the end of the day, up 3.5%. We're talking about a one-day total range of 7% for the NASDAQ. How incredible is that?
Well, if you were a day trader on the right side of that cycle, you could have made a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, all you had to do is start buying somewhere, something. The only thing that wouldn't have made money is shorting into it. That would have been a problem. And that's been going on. And you wonder if the plunge protection team or those parties out there that are doing this kind of situation, where are we with regard to the potential for them trying to retrain and state implicitly in the background, hey, you're not going to make money on the short side here if we can help it.
You're not making money on any shorts while we're in business.
Yeah. These guys are saying I'm pro Putin. What are they talking about? I'm not even gonna pay attention to people think I'm pro Putin. What kind of crap is
that? How are you pro Putin?
I don't even know. Have you heard anything me say anything that I'm pro Putin?
No. But you probably said something.
I must have said something.
It was not pro Biden.
Oh, now they're kidding. Now they're kidding.
Must be pro Putin.
Oh, now they're kidding. Market believes Putin is ready for talks, and then he wasn't, then he is. Then they meet on the edge of the Belarus border. It's exciting, then it's not. So fast forward one day and all hell breaks loose. And crude is up over $105 a barrel.
I know I saw that. I'm just dreading going to the gas station again.
Yeah, gold is up, silver is up, food commodities up. Now I want to talk about this.
I thought silver was still pretty flat.
Silver was up 2.5%, I believe, today. Let's take a look at the chart for a second. We'll look at the symbol SLV. I do it differently on this computer. So it was up 4% today. Let's see 6 months. Let's just look 6 months. It is pretty much up 6.2%. No, let's go 1 month. That's better. 12.4% the last month. 5 days, up 5%. Year-to-date, up 11%. That's respectable.
Not bad for metal.
Right?
No.
Pretty good. 1 year, down 5%. 5 years, up 38% over the last 5 years. That's still pretty good if you think about that. Goldman Sachs, very bullish on silver. So, question, because I know that you have been personally debating this. You've been talking about this probably on No Agenda. First, what the hell is going on? I mean, is this going to have... why is it really happening? And second of all, do you see any kind of an end to this?
Yeah.
Or a way out, I should say. Yeah.
Oh, well, the way out will be some bogus agreement. And it will... I mean, if this is a replay of the situation the Russians had with Georgia... If you remember that, that lasted a total of 17 days.
Then they took it over.
No, they bailed out. They took a couple of chunks of the corner.
Right, but that was because they did that strategically. That's what they at least got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's going to be a short-lived, maybe 17-day, 20-day, whatever it is.
This is just, I'm just doing an overlay. I'm not predicting anything. But if it follows the Georgia pattern, it will be 17 days or so. And what day are we in? It started last Thursday?
It started the bombs last the official incursion Thursday. Invasion. So Thursday,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're only in 6 days. And we got another 11 days to go.
So
minimum.
The difference, there's a big difference this time. Enormous difference this time. And that is whether or not they go in and they have more artillery, less artillery, more ground troops, more rockets, more. That's not what I'm talking about. The world has decided we are going to test out our ability to break somebody for doing something that we don't want them doing without actually going and forcibly firing any bullets, projectiles, rockets, moving ships, etc. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
So this is this really big test of what's happening. I mean, it's pretty fascinating about what's going on here. And then how does it all get resolved? Because Putin doesn't seem to be a guy who takes to the idea of somebody saying, you can't do that. He doesn't seem to be the guy that would say, oh, you know, wow. You know, I didn't realize this really bothered you guys so much. You know, let me reconsider. He doesn't seem to be that kind of guy.
Well, the problem that I think people have is that Putin has the upper hand insofar as providing 40% of all of Europe's natural gas.
How unbelievably stupid is that?
At a minimum. Well, that's because the EU has decided to go green and shut down its nukes and do this and do that and put on windmills.
So stupid. Why would anybody? You know, these are democratic countries, democracy. These are live and let live. These are, you know, the nicey nice greenery woke countries, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're doing business with the devil. What? I don't get it. Nobody ever thought that Putin was a good guy.
I know. It's not as though this should be a big shock.
This whole thing is just crazy. So here's what happened.
It's actually kind of funny.
It's hysterical. It really brings out the stupidity because we're not only talking about the tax on human lives here. The amount of money that is going to possibly hit Europe due to all of this is pretty unbelievable. On the invasion, wheat and corn that night, snap your finger, closed. They stopped trading because they were limit up. They were so hot because Ukraine happens to be a very substantial farming country for wheat and corn and an exporter of wheat and corn.
Major, major wheat producer. Yep.
So here you are all of a sudden having a situation where you have an invasion and probably the farmers aren't going to be like, okay, maybe they'll go around this. I mean, things shut down, right? People run for the hills. The potential for the destruction of the farmlands in certain areas is very high. So, you know, this is a big problem. Natural gas moves substantially. Jumped 60% in one day. The natural gas in Europe is far more expensive than the natural gas in the U.S.
Yeah.
The Russian market's down 40% on the invasion. Now, we hiccup here with a 3% down day. Do you know that 40%, what that means? That's pretty much a wipeout. That was, let me also state, that was the one day. That's not the final total top to bottom here yet, which we'll get into. The ruble, obliterated, under a penny. Yandex, one of the stocks, drops 50%, recovers, things get whacked when the major news breaks that brokerages are stopping trading in many Russian stocks. So not only do you have governments that are saying, hey, Russia, we don't like what you're doing. Therefore, we are going to not buy your oil and not do this and not do that and close this down. And then if that doesn't work, we're going to do things like close off the SWIFT banking process for you. Not only do we have that, but we also have companies that are saying, like Netflix, you know what? We're not going to broadcast this. We have other companies that are saying, you know what? We're selling all of our stake in your gas company and your oil company. And then if that's not good enough, we have individuals that are protesting in groups and soccer teams not playing other soccer teams, and Russia is on the outs, and it's unbelievable. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's pretty unbelievable, and it's fascinating. And if we want to go back to our old theory from a little while ago, that if Putin was playing the market,
oh, like a fill.
I can't imagine the kind of money he's making.
Oh, that guy is, he's shorting, he's going long. Now, if he's playing his market, I don't think that he thought that this would be such a problem. The Russian stock market was it was obliterated. Just obliterated. Besides the fact you have investors pulling out, besides the fact that now, because they're on the hit list, if you will, or they're blacklisted, let's call it, a lot of companies, whether they're hedge funds, whether they're investment firms that held bonds, that held companies, had to pull out. And then Russia's putting capital controls on all of this. I mean, this is a mess, seriously. I know we're over here and we only have a few percent that we lost in the markets, and it doesn't seem like, this is really, really bad, what's going on there. We have the Russian stock market, the ROSX, which is traded as an ETF here in the U.S., that was $32 in October. It's now $8.25. That's a 71% drop, with most of that happening over the last several weeks. 71% drop. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're in a dot-com bubble. Didn't we drop like 60% or something like that?
I don't remember those numbers.
We dropped like 60 or 80% during the great crash and subsequent recession back in the 20s, 30s. This is really bad. So we also are having a problem with something else, because everybody thinks it's over there. We heard that just a few U.S. banks had some exposure to Russia, whether it was through currency, whether it was through maybe bank accounts or business activities, or maybe even bond holdings of sovereign or corporate debt. But there's a ripple effect. All of a sudden, Citi comes out and says that they have a $10 billion exposure, which is small in terms of their total book, but it's still $10 billion, right?
Yeah.
And that funnels through. UBS Group is triggering margin calls on some wealth managers and saying, hey, you know what? You were using these Russian bonds as collateral for that portfolio, and you were actually allowing you to borrow money on that to leverage up different positions. Now what they're doing is they're calling on some investors to either cash in or re-securitize their portfolios after cutting the lending value of some of the Russian bonds to absolutely zero. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'd say.
The Russian sovereign bonds are trading around 50 cents on the dollar, and many Russian corporate bonds, well beyond that. So, and then UBS and other ones are not going to be accepting them as collateral for anything. So they're pretty much, even if they don't have a zero value, collateral-wise, they're looked at as a zero value. Now, ExxonMobil's pulling out. They have more than 1,000 employees in Russia. They've been over there for 25 years. And its subsidiary has a 30% stake in Sakhalin, which is an oil and natural gas project. And I think they're pulling out of that. McDonald's, now they're all of a sudden one of the largest growth areas that they had. And they're opening a massive amount of locations. They're going to be cut off also. Mondelez, the Oreo cookie maker, the owner of Cadbury, leading chocolate maker in Russia since 2018. So this ripple effect needs to be paid attention to.
What if that's the idea?
Go on.
Well, I mean, what if it's the idea is to get rid of all these foreign influences and influencers I mean, the Russians have pulled did something similar during one of those recently, one of these episodes recently, when they kicked all the NGOs out of the country. Now they're kicking the American companies out. They get rid of McDonald's. I mean, they're just by the nature of this event, these companies are bailing out and they're turning their back on Russia. And this is maybe a good time for the Russians to take these industries over that they, you know, pretty much think they own anyway.
So what you're saying, this
McDonald's is leaving a building behind.
So this
they're not taking the stoves with them.
So this is a purge of personnel.
And it's starting to look like a purge. It's a Russian style.
And it is a way of them, well, let's call it this, stealing whatever's there.
Hey, I didn't steal it. You left it.
Right. Finders keepers.
Well, it's not even finders keepers. It's like if you abandon property in the United States, you abandon it, you know, somebody can grab it. And usually it is the state.
Maybe.
I know it's a stretch.
It could be part of the plan.
But at the same time,
when
you bring it up, it's like it sounds more than just a coincidence.
There's a lot of things here. It is amazing to me that he presses on. It's amazing to me, though, that we keep on pushing all this without the understanding that we are backing a wild and rabid animal into a corner. No good comes from that. He can't back down of this, in my opinion. Can he?
Yeah, why not?
Because
what he wants.
I think he
comes up with some bogus excuse.
Well, he's already.
I've seen it before. Well, this is the thing. I wonder about that.
What?
That he's crazy.
You think he's crazy?
No.
You think he's crazy like a fox?
I think he's manipulative, and I think he's exhibiting that in some way. But we'll find out. Again, I said 17 days. Let's see what happens.
All right. What is that? Let's get that on the calendar here. Let's call it the 15th of March. That seems about right.
Sounds reasonable.
About 15th of March. So somebody write that down.
15th of March it is.
You know, it's going to be that John guy.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's possibly, you know, he could leave tomorrow and say we've done what we wanted to do. And
then if he does, what happens to the markets? I mean, do the markets...
Crimea, or stopping water from going into Crimea and starving the people there. That's all we really wanted to do. And then show people how we felt about some things that we're out of here. We can come back, but we're leaving.
I think that if there is some truth in the fact that he's trying to protect his waterway, and then now he's also threatening what? Norway and Sweden, I believe. Right? Because they also are leaning over into that waterway that cuts across from east to west.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and he feels that if he gives in, what's going to happen is that NATO is going to close in, and we're going to have more countries that are surrounding him. I don't know. It's our market. Will markets right themselves very quickly if he just says, okay, I'm done? Yes, probably.
They will here.
Yeah.
Well, they might in Russia.
But do we, if the markets, if he pulls out right away, are we going to say, okay, yeah, okay, that's good, thanks, we'll turn all the switches back on?
Well, if he pulls off, no, of course not. If he pulls out right away, it'll take a year to straighten things out.
So there's still a mess there for a year.
At least.
Which infects all the areas around them. Yeah, right?
But well, let's just follow this out. I mean, I hope it doesn't get any worse than this, but it doesn't seem to have, I've heard different analysis of the guy and his policies and the way he does business. And it seems to me that this is like a kind of a very sketchy. And then with the markets the way they are and the potential for him to trade, it's been brought up before.
Let's keep doing this for a while, just a little bit here and there.
And he also has to look to the future. Here's another thing that you got to consider. This is the price of gasoline, gas and oil.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right now he's got it in the catbird seat because they're going to the Italians and the Germans have a carve out, so they're going to still be able to buy gas and oil from Russia, with this deal with all the SWIFT, you know, denials, mm-hmm. which is, seems to be minor if you don't make everything, if you don't black out the whole banking system, not just part of it.
Right.
And so right now they can, you know, they just, the prices are all jacked up. They have time to make hay, because once the Iranian petroleum system gets back in play, which will happen because of Biden, it's going to flood the market with petroleum of different forms. And it's going to, the prices are going to get slammed. So now's a good opportunity to make money while you can, and let the whole thing fall apart in the spring, because who cares? No one's going to be using that much gas when it's not as cold.
Right.
And then the prices can plummet, because it's going to plummet once if Iran gets back online.
I know, the whole thing is it's a multifaceted 3, 5, 12 dimension chess game, which is what Russians are good at, right?
The Russians are better at chess than we are.
Yep, that's true. And down here in Florida, there's, you know, in Sunny Isles, this has been what's called an escape for Russians, the Russian wealthy and elite. They purchased tons of property, luxury property, in an area called Sunny Isles. As a matter of fact,
it's about a party.
Do you know about that?
Sunny Isles? No, I don't. You're going to brief us now.
Yeah, it's called Little Moscow. Moscow by the sea.
Now, where is this?
Just south of Hallandale area.
Where's Hallandale?
Hallandale's south of Hollywood.
So where's Fort Lauderdale?
North of Hollywood. So I'll give you this. This is a broad scope, but you know, a few miles here. But Fort Lauderdale, the whole waterway, you know, the ocean on there. You go down about 10 miles, you're in Hollywood. 10 miles, you're in Hallandale. 5 miles, you're in Sunny Isles.
Okay, so it's about 40 miles from where you live.
30 miles, maybe. Maybe 30 miles. Yeah.
Okay, so you could go visit if you want. Yeah, if you want to have a Russian meal at it. I'm sure they have Russian restaurants.
Yeah, a little borscht, a little caviar. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and shav, you ever have shav? Shav is like it's a sorrel.
They've enclaved in this little area called, what was it called again?
Sunny Isles. Yep. It's estimated that Russia's elite has more than $1 trillion in offshore accounts, which they said is disproportionately held in South Florida property.
Interesting. Well, have they started to take the property away from these guys?
Well, we know that just now I just got an alert that Biden has barred Russian aircraft from entering United States airspace.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they were on there.
How much Russian aircraft enters the United States airspace?
Well, you can have Russian Air or whatever their airline is.
Aeroflot. I think had two flights into New York. I don't know if they had any into Florida. Maybe they do because of these Russians down there. I know there used to be a flight to Vladivostok out of Seattle, and that was canceled years ago. So I don't think that's a big deal. I think, you know, the fact that they're keeping the Aeroflot from overflying all of Europe and places like that might be a problem.
But it's all aircraft, including cargo.
What cargo planes are coming in from Russia?
Maybe Russia is exporting something to the European Union. No longer.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're coming here with a case of vodka on the.
No, they're not coming here.
With the props.
I mean, there may be some private jets owned by those rich guys down in Sunny Hills or whatever it's called.
Sunny Hills, yeah. So I think the biggest issue right now is, I really do think we need to think about that Russia's going to get angrier. And it's very clear that there's going to be a lot of pain in Russia to the people. Clearly, when their currency is just obliterated, their stock market is obliterated, and all sorts of other problems. But how are they also going to possibly retaliate? Not the people, but Russia, maybe the government, is in the area of what they do well, which is cyber attacks. So there's been a significant increase. The Polish government and the National System for Payment Clearing have experienced more cyber attacks in the recent days. Now, did they say it was from Russia? We don't know. But one of the things you should think about, or I think people should consider, is that there may be a need to, for many companies and governments, to continue the process of reinforcing all of their cloud, their technology, et cetera. And there's a number of companies, and I listed them over on DH Unplugged under the show notes for episode number 596. I'm not a big fan of the ETF with this symbol hack for this, but Palantir. Yeah,
I would just go with brand name cyber companies. To ETFs are, right. It doesn't sound like the right way to go.
So this last thing on this, I think related to this is the Biden administration did something odd the other day, and how this affects the markets, probably not much, but I thought it was a little weird and something to you to bring back, to deconstruct, to talk about more so from the conspiracy side of governmental things with Adam, because they expected to announce recently that they're going to create a plan to beef up its skeletal staffing at the U.S. Embassy in Havana to restore visa processing for Cubans that have been largely suspended since the Trump era. The deployment of additional consular officers to Havana, a result of Biden's ongoing year-long review of the policy, is going to happen soon, and it's going to mark an initial phase of easing strict limits on visa imposed by former Donald Trump. However, I say bull. I say, all of a sudden, in the middle of all this, we're sending more quote-unquote people, troops, to Cuba, who has outwardly said that they are siding with Russia and we shouldn't be involved. I think this is just a way to get more of our security personnel into the country. What do you think?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know what good it's going to do. I mean, they probably got plenty of security people there already. Spooks.
I just think it's weird.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense the way you present it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, it doesn't make sense that we do that, but that's what we're doing. So I have no idea what's going on. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. 30-member IEA, the Petroleum Institute, if you will, which was founded in 1974 as an energy watchdog. They're going to be coordinating a collective response to major disruptions in the supply of oil. Now, why doesn't OPEC make any comments that they're going to do anything? No, no. We have to have all these governments all together. It's like this big happy party back to globalism as a weapon, right? Globalism as a financial weapon revealed. You see that?
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think maybe that's the way we're handling Russia too, is a globalism. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Which is what Russia detests.
Mm-hmm. They're going to coordinate a release of a massive amount of oil from the stockpiles.
Yeah. It's not going to do any good.
It'll do nothing. Who cares?
It's like 2 days worth of supplies. It's like unbelievable. Useless.
It's like putting a grain in sugar in a cup of coffee and saying it's sweet. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Stupid. Bigger problem is there's a chicken shortage. Seems that Publix and Costco shoppers have been complaining about a shortage of rotisserie chicken. Now, let's stop there for a second. There's a shortage of rotisserie chicken. For those people that are not from the culinary side of things, you don't grow a chicken as a rotisserie chicken. You don't say, oh, that's a rotisserie chicken. Right, John?
No, you just use chicken.
It's a chicken. It's a chicken.
It happens to be a certain size.
It just happens to be maybe a certain size or the one that got stuck with the rotisserie. But there's a shortage of rotisserie chicken somehow.
Well, I think you're maybe misreading this.
Oh, that's twice already you're telling me this. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, at Costco, they sell rotisserie chicken.
Yeah.
Pre-cooked.
Yeah.
And they sell tons of these things. And so the shortage would be they're not cooking enough of these chickens.
Well, it was because there was reported cases of bird flu and a series of major storms in the South and Midwest, which battered chicken farms.
Well, there may be a shortage of chickens then.
Yeah, that's
the result. That result in a shortage of rotisserie chicken being made at these two stores.
Correct.
I did not know that Publix sold. Well, though, Whole Foods sells rotisserie chicken, and a number of other stores that I shop at sell rotisserie chicken. But the Costco rotisserie chicken is quite special, since it's a pretty big chicken and it's $5 flat fee.
Is it really $5?
Yeah.
And I wonder why there's a shortage of it. They're like, you know what? Instead of paying $5 and we'll cook it, here's $18 for the same chicken and you cook it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's what's going on.
I probably buy one of those, we call them Costco chickens, about once every, I used to buy them every couple of weeks. I'd buy one because it's like, what are we going to do for dinner? I don't care. Let's just buy this stupid chicken and eat it. And it's enough to feed about six people.
What is the chicken? My grandmother used to make this chicken that we thought was a turkey, but it's not a turkey. It's like a giant chicken, smaller than a turkey.
Oh, those big giant chickens are really quite something.
What was that called?
I do have a tip for people buying the Costco chicken.
Oh. Go ahead.
After you're done figuring out what you're going to...
No, I'm figuring... Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll figure out what that is. Good. I don't know. Do you tell the tip?
Okay, so here's the deal with these Costco chickens. They have them in the back of the store usually, and they bring them out every day. You can ask the guy, when's the next fresh batch coming out? And they bring them out. What you want to do, and this is a great tip for people who want to buy one of these $5 chickens since they're flat fees. You want to buy one that has the back of the chicken, the top of the chicken that's in this little container, actually touching and pushing up against the lid of the holder.
Uh-huh.
Because it's the, for one thing, it's a bigger chicken right off the bat because it's big, just bigger. And it's exactly the right size so the things are cooked perfectly. Most of the chickens are slightly smaller and they're not big enough to touch the top of the lid.
Oh, I gotcha.
So you just look over and you can see it because it's a chicken touching the top of the lid. That's a see-through lid. And so you see you look over 10 of these, 20 of these chickens, you see the one or two of them touch the top. Those are the ones you buy.
Capon.
Oh, yeah. Capons are delicious.
Capon. Yep. Capon. We have crocodile tears for Elon Musk. It says, sad day. Last week, we no longer had anybody in the 200 billion plus club of total worth. He was the last one to come out. So his wealth tumbled by $13 billion last Wednesday.
Oh, poor guy.
Yep. It's back up again, though, so that's good. Economics, PCE prices, that is the preferred measure of inflation from the Fed. Up 0.6% on a month-over-month basis. Personal spending was up a whopping 2.1%. Personal income was unchanged. Interesting. Therefore, what you have to then discern from that is that spending on higher-priced items with less wage growth keeping pace. Higher priced items, I don't mean different. It may have been the same product that just costs more. Second reading of GDP, plus 7% for quarter four. The S&P Case-Shiller home price index for the 20 cities up 18.6%.
It's ludicrous.
But the University of Michigan, their consumer confidence level dropped to 62%. Down from 110 in 2021. That's a big move. There's a chart there, too. Kind of shows the nosedive there. You have to look at all the way to the end, though. That big sharp down is 2020, you know, when everybody had COVID. A couple more things. We're running out of time here. Employment report. Oh, this Friday, the employment report's coming out. Tomorrow on Wednesday, we'll see the ADP numbers coming out. That'll give us a insight somewhat to the private payrolls that are coming on Friday. The Fed is doing the Humphrey Hawkins talk today and tomorrow, and March 17th will be the rate decision by the Fed. We also have economic activity in the manufacturing area, John, that actually was up more than expected because COVID-19 infections subsided. And, you know, we have... Oh, we have to talk about this. We have weather. That's an excuse, right? poor economics. We have COVID as an excuse. You know, we're reading it right now. Better than expected February as COVID infections subsided. So that was the thing. We have inflation and higher prices. That's an excuse, right?
Always.
And now we have Russia, Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, we got the extra bonus.
We got a bonus excuse for earnings that don't meet, for economics that fall short. That's like, oh, if it wasn't for that. You know, listen, if it wasn't for the massive amount of food that I ate over the last however long, I'd be 35 pounds thinner. So discount my fatness, will you please? And think that I am a skinny man.
There you go.
So stupid. Corporate news, Target beat holiday expectations and shrugged off supply chain obstacles, plus the rising inflation, to forecast better than expected 2022 sales and profit margins, boosting the big box retailer shares 12%. Is that could be Biden calling you during the State of the Union address for some guidance?
I'm gonna check it out.
Sorry. It could be Biden. Let's see what happens here.
That was Mimi.
Really?
Yeah, she freaked out when I told her what's going on.
About what?
What?
Going on about what?
We're doing a podcast.
I know, but what was she freaking out about?
When I told her I'm doing a podcast.
Why would she freak out? We've been doing this for...
Because she knows not to call.
Oh.
And made a mistake.
Oh.
That's why she's freaking out.
She may have been hitting the bottle a little bit tonight.
So...
So anyway, Target came out with really good news. Stock is up 12% today. JWM also did very well, up 30%. Nordstrom topped profits, but they're thinly traded. I don't count them. Quickly on coinage, because I want to talk about this a little bit. Bitcoin has seen a very big interest since the whole invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying, well, maybe Bitcoin is as good as Swift.
It could be. You have to wonder about that. It's called now the conflict currency. We're getting confirmation of credentials of it being a conflict currency. So these schmageggies that were all about Bitcoin creating the freedom and creating this wondrous world, because somehow a currency can do that. I don't know how. But somehow Bitcoin is going to create this utopianistic society is now being used potentially for massive amount of overreach, potential killings, and destruction. Do you think they're proud of that?
Oh, God.
Am I wrong?
No, it's exactly what the argument is.
But what are the Bitcoin boys going to say?
I don't know.
Are they going to be like everybody else in the hemisphere that is more quote unquote democratic rather than authoritarian, communist, we'll call it communist. Are they going to be, need to cut them off, need to come off them off of the Swift, need to cut them off from overflights of our skies, need to cut the blah, blah, blah. But Bitcoin's okay to let them continue transacting. That's okay.
Because that doesn't sound right to me.
But if you take Bitcoin down from there, if you do, then it would be like, well, then no longer is it a decentralized, unimpeded, pure, non-touchable. But if you don't do it, now it becomes the currency of the dictator. What do you think about that conundrum?
It sounds like you can't win.
I'd like to hear the explanation how this is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Adam would know.
Bitcoin's trading at a premium of about $3,000 at Ukraine and Russia. And
sell your Bitcoin to them.
Yeah, well, if you could, but then you can't get it back somehow.
You don't want it back.
You know these DAOs, these democratized something buying groups?
Yeah. Yeah.
Buy the Broncos DAO is trying to buy the NFL Broncos for $4 billion.
It seems high.
It seems ridiculous. I think we're going to see during election time in particular this whole DAO thing. And if many of the politicians that are running are smart enough to figure out how to take cryptocurrencies, these players are going to try to sway, just like everybody hates what Soros did, right, with all his big bucks, or the various PACs, what they do with their big bucks, how bad those people are. This is the same thing. This is one giant PAC is all it is. That's the way I see it.
That's a very interesting idea.
Oh, they're going to totally raise money to sway. If you have a person that is going, it's one thing to see the TV ad or see the guy with the button or go to a $25,000 dinner or give $10 to your political campaign. You have a upswell of Reddit/Wall Street Bet types that have these coins that decide they want to make a statement for the fun of it. And they elect, for example, like they did in Ukraine, a comedian. Or they elect someone who is like a Mark Cuban. They just put all this money behind him because he is friendly to cryptos.
Yeah. Well, that's something that you and I should talk about. We can set one of these up.
And we just to do something. We could be a gangster. That's what these are. These are gangs, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah.
As I see it.
I think, yeah.
You know? Okay, what else do we got here? We talked about DH Unplugged close to the pin. That was great. We have to do another one. I got to get that going. We have a terrible limerick that was sent in. By the mysterious limericker.
Oh, it's you again.
I didn't say that. It's terrible. It was done very quickly. And you did it
just before the show.
And I don't think it works. But maybe somebody can take it and do something with it.
That would be me.
There once was a man from Russia who told Ukraine, "We won't touch you," but enrolled the tanks and so much for the pranks. Now at a war with a Rushki monster.
You did okay, except to the last line.
Now a war with a Rushki monster.
Yeah, it's and not only that, but it's not even the same type of language. That last line,
I couldn't find anything.
I give you an F.
Oh,
because of the last line, you ruined it. It could be done.
It could have been.
Just a new last line. This thing would be a great little limerick.
They went to the man from Russia who told Ukraine, "We won't touch you." Oh, I told you it was no good. I knew it.
Well, you were right.
Yep. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. Let me just say to start that Russia ETF didn't work so well. Nor did the shorting oil.
Well, let me look at this list.
Those are both mine. Those were way out. Remember, I told you, these are way out, wacky, crazy, stupid ideas. And they were.
Well, I would say a couple of things. The Peloton didn't work either, but I'm out of Peloton because I just got kicked out up 20%.
On the short side.
I am going to go long.
Oh,
that same
what?
Russia ETF.
Ooh, RSX. And that was down. Let's see what that was down. It was down 23% again today. It was down 25% yesterday and 23% today.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
If it goes down more, I'd actually buy it on my account.
I know. I tried to play with it a little bit, but it was just like,
your problem is with these dead, you know, this thing is falling like a rock and, it's risky.
It's $8.26
upside,
today. Oh, the upside 30,
the upside is at least $25.
You would think that this could, if it could get to $15, you got a double.
Yeah.
Which is still easy, down 75%.
It looks like an easy doubler. Right. But maybe it's premature. Maybe you do have to wait till the 17 days are up.
So what you do with that, just from a trading standpoint, you may want to, you almost do a day trade of it, right? So you go in and you trade every single day. You lose a little bit of money, you're out. You take a stop on it. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Every day, because otherwise you're going to miss it. This thing can go up 25% tomorrow, and it's still down from 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, 25%. Let's see, it would be 80 cents. $2. It goes up $2. That would be a lot. And it's only up to $10. And that's down, still down 50% from last week. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it's like it's a trader's delight.
Let's see. Now, the problem here is there is one problem. Well, I'm not convincing you out of this. I just want to tell you something. What's happening here is you're getting a combo plan. One, it is trading with the ruble, because the ruble is the home currency of this investment. And therefore, what's happening is even if the underlying doesn't move, if the ruble moves, you get benefit or the detractor from it. That's number one. Number two.
The ruble's not going down any further.
It would be hard-pressed to do so. The second thing is that,
by the way, when I see this ruble thing the way it's moving, I'm thinking Soros is involved here.
I think he's trying to crack it, but good. He's done that. He's a currency boy.
He's a currency guy. He's going to pick it up down at the bottom.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that the stocks that back this up are not trading. So there's a hypothetical adjustment being made to consider what is the actual return of when those reopen. Does that make sense?
They're makes halted. Nothing but sense.
So I'm going to look at a different one here for a second. Let me put this in here. I'll put this here. No, it didn't work. Put it here. Here. So there's another stock out there. The symbol is YNDX.
Ooh, Yendex.
It's halted. It didn't trade today. It's zero. I think it's halted. I think they halted all these stocks. That's the other problem, that we're not allowing. Let's see what happens here. Yandex, it's halted. 1 month, it's down 60%. 5 days, it's down 51%. 6 months, it's down 75%. Year-to-date, it's down 68%. This is the Russian equivalent, loosely, of Google in Moscow. 18,000 employees, major company. Huge revenue, $110 billion of revenue, and it's halted. If you were short, you're screwed. If you're long, you're screwed. Because you're short, you can't trade out of it. This thing opens up 100% up, you're in bad shape.
Not if you're long at this price.
If you're long, but you can't even buy it.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't do you any good.
You couldn't even if you wanted to, a lot of these stocks. So that's a big problem. Big problem.
Well, you can this.
You can the RSX. Yeah.
The RSX, you can.
RSX. Let me take this other one off here. Let me delete that. Okay.
I think Yandex has got, now that you bring it up, has got a lot of potential.
A lot of potential, but you have to.
They're going to kick Google and these guys out of the country. It looks like they're just getting people out of Russia. Get out.
The problem is that everybody's freaked out right now because who knows what will be allowed to trade or not. That's the other thing. Like, what will they stop trading? What will they halt? If this doesn't get relieved, if we don't see that there is this continuation. And again, even if Russia just puts every bit of their artillery, their tanks, their troops in absolute 100% reverse starting right now, how long is it going to take? Because they did a bad thing. They lied. I know that killing people is bad.
They need to be punished.
But seriously. They were, we're just doing exercise.
They lied. It's, they're going to eat.
That's a bad one.
For that.
Right. Because now you can't trust them. You can't trust them anyway, but you really can't trust them. It's not like, hey, listen, leave us alone. We're going in. You know what I mean? Nothing you do is going to stop us. Just get out of my way. No, they lied. Terrible. All right, that's going to bring us to the conclusion. Don't be too hard on Mimi. I'm worried that she's going to get a brow beating.
No, she's not. Okay. She self-punishes. She's flogging herself.
I like it. All right, John, I will see you again next Tuesday, okay?
Okay, good deal.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.